Yeah. Again, the Lord is doing a new thing, and some of the new things are old things, but we haven't participated, so it's a new thing to us. So again, just in that. So I'm actually going to be speaking into this morning, and I'm going to start with a joke. Uh-oh. A pastor was visiting the home of a parishioner. At the one home, it seemed obvious that there was somebody home, but no one was coming and answering, no matter how repeatedly he knocked on the door. So he took out a business card and a pen, and he wrote on the back of it Revelations 3:20, and he stuck it in the door. The next Sunday, when the offering was being processed, that business card was found and returned to the pastor. There was an added scripture verse to the back of where he had written his, of Genesis 3:10. So reaching for his Bible to check it out, the pastor broke into gales of laughter. His scripture, Revelation 3:20, was, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And the response was from Genesis 3:10, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, for I was naked." Oh, wow. So this morning we are looking at the one another's. Now, Joyce has shared a few of those scriptures. We're going to hear them again as I go through this message and share with you. You know, when we think about Jesus and the time that he spent on earth, fully man, fully God, yet he lived in community. We see him with his family, and even as a child, remember the story of when they all went to Jerusalem for the festival and they came back and they were out a whole day, and his parents were out, they were out a whole day journey when they realized Jesus wasn't with them. Why? Because they were traveling in a big community. They just assumed Jesus was hanging out with the other boys because they were traveling in community. Well, we know that he lived in a community, that when he came into his ministry, he developed a community. He called his disciples. We call them apostles now. But there were others that followed him. We hear about the other disciples. There were 72 that he sent out. So it wasn't just the 12. There was a community of people that Jesus lived and ministered with. And he went around to various communities. Community is important. When we look at Jesus at the Last Supper, and he says to his disciples, and disciples are the followers of Jesus. We always assume there was just the 12 there, but there may have been more. Has anybody ever done any research on that? Was there only the 12 there, or was there more, or do we know? Or do we follow the picture? 12 and the women for sure, yeah. But there is also, you know, we have a picture of the Last Supper, right? And they've got the 12 there, and we kind of limit it. We really don't know how many were actually there. A nice gathering of fellowship. But Jesus, at that point, and it's something that Joy shared with us, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love." You think one another is a little bit important if our Lord and Savior mentions it 3 times in 1 sentence, or 2 sentences, okay. He has commanded us, I didn't put the scripture, but John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And we read, you know, we can read this 2 ways. First is this. By loving others, in other words, keeping the command, I'm proving that I love Jesus. Or it could be this way. Out of the growing love that you have for Jesus, you will flow in love for others and thereby keeping the commandments. I don't think it's an either or. I think it's kind of a both thing. But I also believe that it's through what we've experienced with God that we are able to love one another. Jesus that night, as he's teaching and talking with his disciples, tells them two more times about loving each other beyond this scripture here. In John 15, 12 and 17. Wendell already mentioned, it is estimated that it is spoken, the one another's 59 times through the New Testament, depending on the translation that you have. Might even say each other. The very wording one another gives us the understanding that there's more than one person. And in context, we always see community. When Jesus was speaking, he wasn't just speaking to one of them, he was speaking to a group of them. Love one another. I'm going to put up something that we haven't seen for a little bit, but we know. This is our vision statement here at Community Church. It says, it is the vision of this church to be a welcoming, worshiping community, experiencing and sharing the enabling power of God's grace to help people become all that God desires them to be. It's a community statement. It's talking about what happens in community. These words express how we want to live out God's instruction and direction for his church right here amongst us. We are God's people, his children, his church. We're the bride of Christ, whom he has lavished his love upon. And it's because of his great love that we love and serve each other. And in that way, or in a way that God has designed. And it's interesting, it's together in community. You know, sometimes there are lone rangers who take off and go out and do, but even Paul in his ministry took people with him. And one of the things that we've spoken about many, many times throughout our time here at the church is when you look at the Bible, it's about relationship, 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 relationship. And so as we look at the idea of community and growing together and loving one another, we have to see that it's more than just one or two. Throughout the Bible, again, we're shown what we should do for one another. If we look at the Ten Commandments, we start with the first half of it talking about how we can love God, and then the second half is really how do we properly love our neighbors. Then it's all the don'ts. Don't do this and don't do that, but don't hurt your neighbor. Jesus sums it up in his things. He says, this is my commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's about community, about what the one another's. And again, as we look at all the one another verses in the New Testament, you can see it is only out of relationship that they can be managed or done or walked out, if I can put it that way. So, saying all of that, would be helpful to understand what does the Bible say about living in community, about the one another's. Understanding biblical basis behind living in community. The first one is the obvious one, to love one another. And again, many scriptures, 1 John 3:11 says, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. In Romans 12, which Joyce has already said, love one another with brotherly affection. How many of us think about that? It says, owe no one anything except to love each other. There's an each other instead of a one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. That's Romans 13:8. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in your love for one another and for all. So there's an interesting statement here. May the Lord help you increase in love for one another. Who is he speaking to? To everybody outside the church or to the church? He's speaking to the church. And then says, and for all. Man, you think about that. If we can't love one another in here, how are we going to love them out there? But here's what Paul prayed. He says, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another. Don't you love it that it's the grace of God that helps us grow in that? It's not, I'm going to try real hard looking all constipated because I'm going to love. It's his work in our hearts and our lives. It's exciting. I don't know about you guys. Are you guys awake this morning? Kind of calm and quiet. Let me force it out of you. You know, there is a lot of scriptures here. I have about 4 pages of scriptures here. I'm not going to read them all to you, but I am going to let you look them up because you should know where they're written. One of the other ways is we honor one another. Man, sometimes it's hard to show honor when you don't think somebody deserves it. You greet one another. How do we greet one another? A holy kiss. I was just, yeah, in all purity, brotherly love and wisdom. And I want to tell you, I have that, let me count this. 1, 2, 3, 4 times in scripture in the New Testament, it tells us to greet one another with a holy kiss. A holy kiss?
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure most of us know what a passionate kiss is versus it's not that. And I'm going to say in our world today that we need to use wisdom and discernment when we should be doing that, right? And I often say, you know, a kiss on the forehead or the top of the head doesn't say great passionate things. It says love, an intense love. I always think of when I kiss my nieces or whatever, that's always on top of the head, you know, and hug and squeeze, but yeah. Shaking hands? Well, nowadays it's like sanitize, shake hands, sanitize. But I mean, it is. It's greeting. It's a greeting that is honoring and loving, right? I'm not going to tell you to go ahead and kiss each other. Culturally appropriate, right? And don't let the hugs always. Well, I always say, do the side with. You know what? Great wisdom is required, and especially in the day and age we live in now, right? Great wisdom. And I always say this, ask permission if you don't know them very well. I say that because we do not know the trauma some people have experienced. And just be well aware of people have experienced trauma that we don't know. Ask permission. Can I give you a hug? And if they say no, say, oh, well, that's fine. No, I'm hugging you in the spirit. I love you, you know? If you even feel to say that. But let's be wise in that. But greet one another. I didn't put the kiss there. Did you see it? I just put greet one another. Greet one another. Welcome one another. Again, that's right in our mission statement here at Community Church. We want to be a welcoming church. Just like we saw in our little children's story, God welcomes everyone who wants to come into his kingdom. Show hospitality to one another. I'm going to read the scripture there. This is the one I have written here. There's a few of them. 1 Peter 4:9. Show hospitality to one another. No, I'm going to share what it says because I kind of went, oh, without grumbling. Oh. Have fellowship with one another. You know, I think that that's one of the things. If we run in the door here, sit down, do our hour and a half, and then run out the door and never greet or meet or fellowship with one another, you're not obeying what the Lord has asked us to do. And I know that sounds a little harsh, but we're to fellowship with one another. We need to get to know one another. It's important. Do you know these people sitting in this church, your brothers and sisters? Do you know your brothers and sisters? And that's one of the things we want to do. We want to get to know one another. Here's an interesting one. Agree with one another. Uh-oh. Agree to disagree. Or the truth is what do we agree upon? What are we to... It's about the word. That's right. It's about the word of God. It's about who Jesus Christ is. You know what? If you have differing political opinions, oh well. Holy Spirit can speak to you about who you're supposed to vote for. But he can. I'd say that. But again, what are we, you know, as long as we're there, it's up to us, let's live in peace with one another, right? Be in agreement with one another. Let's hear the word of God and come and add our yes and our amen to the promises of God. Living in harmony with one another. Wow. Now, you want to think about the word harmony as it goes with music. Are they the same notes? No, but they're played together and they come together and they sound beautiful together. And so as you're called to do something and another is called to do something and they just complement one another. Monica fills to do, you know, the community cupboard, and someone else fills to go and evangelize in the streets. Jim. But it's a beautiful harmony that comes together. We're celebrating who? We're celebrating Jesus, our Lord, the good things, the good works he's called us to. Be at peace with one another. How do we do that? Well, sometimes we maybe need to connect with another person. We get to know them. What, when they said that, was that what they meant? Do I really know their heart? I'm going to share. There was a situation that happened a couple weeks ago, and Rebecca said something and I received it wrong because of what was going on in my heart. And I went home that night. I had no peace. I had no peace until I texted her and we had a conversation over the phone and had a good talk. And because, you see, I realized that's not her heart. And how I received it was my issue, not hers. But I went to bed having peace. And I think Rebecca did too. I don't know if her peace was upset at all, but mine was. But I share that to say that sometimes it's about following what the Holy Spirit is guiding you and leading you to. If you don't have peace with somebody, maybe you need to go and talk with them. Maybe you need to sit and have a conversation. Doesn't mean necessarily you're going to come away with them being in agreement with you. But maybe we have peace with one another. Be kind to one another. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Kindness. I'm going to move on here. Forgive one another. Again, that's something the Lord has asked us to do. Forgive one another as God has forgiven you. That's Ephesians 4:32. And again, I'm just reading through some of these verses. I think you know them. We forgive one another. We bear with one another. Boy, sometimes we feel like we're really bearing with some people. I'm going to read this. This is from Colossians 3, verse 13. It's from Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, fruit of the Spirit, bearing with each other in love, eager to maintain unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Wow. Humility. You know, when somebody's going through something, and I don't know if you've ever been there, and you're sitting there going, ugh, because they just don't seem to get it. And we just want to rush right in there and make them get it. Sorry, I just spit on myself. And the Lord says, whoa, whoa, whoa. In all humility, step back. You don't have, you know the answer, but you may not have their answer. He may be dealing with them. We're to bear with them as they walk this, as the Lord directs their paths. We're to be gentle with them. Patient. And bearing in love. And be eager to maintain unity. Eager to maintain unity. Boy, sometimes we're eager to maintain chaos or drama. But be eager to maintain unity. And then what kind of unity? The unity of the Spirit, capital S, in the bond of peace. If that's the only scripture you take home and settle with today, do a little research on that. Take it up. That's Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3. Colossians, again, speaks on bearing with one another. Now, here's another one. Here's another bear. Bear one another's burdens. Man, I tell you what, if you've ever been with grieving people, when they've lost a loved one, that's an easy one to step into, right? In a sense of, we just naturally bear up with them, grieve with them. But what about when somebody's done, and I'm going to put it in my vernacular, something stupid that has created an issue in their life? Whatever, the stupid happened before the jail, right? And we have to bear with them. And again, bear their burden with them. Come alongside them. And again, hopefully they're repented of it if it was a stupid. But they may not be. They may not recognize it was their own foolishness that put them in a circumstance. But we're going to bear them up. Go pray for them. Come alongside them. Come to a place, again, as we fellowship, as we do community together, where we can speak into. We have influence. We can, you know, going up to a complete stranger and telling, you know what you just did is just stupid and wide. But even walking up into them in a loving, kind, gentle way and saying that, it's just like, who are you and where do you think you have the right? But a brother and a sister that you've gotten to know, who they've seen you walk, who maybe even shared in some of your struggles, you develop a sphere of influence, we could say it that way, where you can speak truth into their lives in love and kind and gentleness. You can pick up their burdens. Can I pray for you? What can I pray for? How can I uphold you during this time? Bear one another's burdens. I'm sure there's way more that can go with that. Comfort one another. Hey, again, as believers I who seek the Lord, I know that. Care for one another. Do I need to add more to that? Confess sins to one another. And I'm going to say this. Actually, I left my Bible down there. Someone want to open up their Bible to the book of James, chapter 5. And Alan, would you run the mic to them? Somebody have it? Chapter 5, we're going to start in just a second. I lost my spot here. 16. Well, actually, it's going to probably be a little more than that. Go ahead. Okay. Have we got the mic turned on back there? A handheld?
Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
Thank you. Quite often we, confess your sins to one another. There's a whole idea, there's a whole thing that as we get to know one another, I'm not going to, sometimes we think it's easy to go and confess our sins, and it probably is to somebody we don't know at all. But when you have to trust and go into community with brother and sister and confess what you're struggling with, the sin you're struggling with, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another. Why? Because you want healing. And the prayers of your righteous brothers and sisters availeth much. And sometimes we forget or we're too ashamed. That's the tactic of the enemy. If you're feeling shame, you bust through that and get to a friend, a trusted friend, because the enemy wants to keep you there. Confess your sins to one another. And then pray for one another. Well, we've just heard that in that scripture. We want to be praying for one another. Encourage one another. Build one another up. Exhort one another. It doesn't say here, tear each other down, right? No, we want to exhort, build one another up. Instruct one another. Teach and admonish one another. And here are the four don'ts that I found in there of one another's. Don't judge one another. Don't speak against one another. Don't provoke one another. Anybody ever had a brother or a sister poke at you, provoke you to swat them and then, Mom? And don't envy one another. I'm going to say this. Don't even envy the gifts of the Spirit you see on another person. Rejoice in it. Rejoice in their calling. And know the Lord has for you as well. Sing with one another. I'm just going to just, Sunday mornings, well, we do it at other times too, when we start our worship service, quite often we call that beginning part praise and worship. The whole service is worship unto the Lord. But there's something that happens. Why do we do it at the beginning of the service? Because the worship team leads us in our thinking and our hearts and our minds into the presence of God. He's always with us, but it takes our focus off of all that is around and brings us to a place where we're focusing on Him and what He's done. And we sing together. And that scripture goes on to say, sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. Make melody in your hearts to the Lord. We sing together. We sing with one another, I should say. We do good to one another. Hello. I hope so. I don't think that's what. How about serving one another? Wash one another's feet. Now, when I put that in there, I know there's people who do the foot washing services, and that's fine. But there was more than that Jesus was saying. There was an attitude of heart. Listen, I've come to serve you, and as I've served you, so serve one another. Don't put ourselves too above or too beneath. We're to minister and serve one another. Wait for one another. This was about getting together to eat. How many of you grew up in a household where you sat down at the table while mom was putting stuff on the table, and maybe your dad or maybe, and you were taught you do not eat till mom sits down. You do not eat until the hostess sits down or the host sits down. So you eat together. There's something in that eating together when we share food. It puts us all at an equal place. All of us need to eat. All of us are hungry. All of us share a meal. And as we sit down to eat at a meal, and even as we say in our home group, you know, a snack or whatever is kind of a part of it because it's a place to share not only food, but to be, well, we're all equal, but to sense that equalness, that family atmosphere. Okay, let's keep going. Be humble towards one another. Submit to one another. Oh, don't we hate that word? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Speak the truth to one another. Don't be lying. And stir one another up to stir one another to love and to good works. All of these verses are about loving one another. Love is more than just a feeling. Love is action. And all of God's commandments, all of the Jesus has said, can be summarized in loving God and loving your neighbor by living out these verses in community. It's how we can love. It's how we can be loved. It's by the one another's. Looking at the one another verses in the New Testament, you really can only see, like if I put them all up again, you really can see that you can only do that through community. You can only live those out through community. We have a name on the side of our building. As you go out the door, you'll see it there. It says Camrose Community Church. And it's a name that represents who we believe God has called us to be, not only for those of us who call this their home church, but who and how we are to represent him here in the city of Camrose. A people who support this community, the community of Camrose. A people who love one another. One of the best ways to grow towards one another and get to know one another and walk out the one another's is really in home group. We can do a little bit here at the church, and it's a good place for us to be. We should gather in. We should hear the word. But now we should be gathering in smaller groups to go through the word and deeper, to challenge one another, places to pray for each other, to share, to gather as family. When the church was born, just after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, in Acts 2, starting in verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to ones who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they gathered and ate together with glad, sincere hearts. They praised God and enjoyed the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their numbers that were daily those who were being saved. Home groups aren't just a small thing, aren't just a maybe we should do that. It said they met together daily. And some of us would say, oh, I don't have time for that. I'm not saying that that's what he's asking us to do, but it's important that we gather together. Home groups are a place to provide that opportunity to get to know each other in a safe and non-threatening environment. Some of you sitting here would feel very threatened if I said, would you stand up and pray for us right now? Don't ask me to do that. But could you do it in a home group? Or could that be a good place to start? It's a place to build strong, successful relationships between one another and to help us grow in our relationship with God. We have a scripture here. I think I'm going to put it up right there. I'll go back to that other side. It says, let us seize and hold tightly. Let me read it off my page because I can't read it on my screen here. Tightly the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. I'm reading out of the Amplified. And let us consider thoughtfully how we can encourage one another to love and to do good deeds, not forsaking meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, and as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as we see the day of Christ's return approaching. I have a little byline that I put on that little pamphlet here. It says this, that we're growing together in community while connecting like family. We want to grow inwardly and then take it outwardly. We want to be effective in this community and in that community. We want them to say, God is with those people. We want people to see the love, the joy. I want to be a part of that. We want to grow. And we want to, I'm going to read what my last line here is. As we grow in a loving community, we will affect the greater community, taking Jesus' commands to love our neighbors out into the world right next door. Amen? Amen. I kept you here a little longer than normal. It was a long morning with lots of things, but I pray that God has spoken to you somehow. Let's rise. And Trevor, you have those brochures, or have they been handed out? Trevor has some of these brochures back there. Again, if you want a brochure that gives you more information about what our vision for home groups is, and just the registration sheets. And again, if you would fill them out and get them back to me, I'd appreciate that. All right? Amen. Let me put that last little line up. Not coming. Okay. Not sure why it won't move forward. Oh, there we go. Sorry, it always looks better on my computer than it does up on the screen here. So I apologize. And again, that's just our byline. Growing in Jesus and community while connecting like family. Amen. So, Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you that you love us so greatly, so intensely, that you have drawn us and called us and put us, adopted us into your family. And so, Father, as we know we are part of your family, your kingdom, we also want to just model that family here, to fellowship together, to encourage one another, and to take the good news of the love of our Lord and Savior to a aching, heartbroken world. And we ask this in your precious name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. All right. Bless you, brothers and sisters. Have a great week.